Hey podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from the Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Andrew Gaff talks finals footy.
We ask you how quickly you quit your job.
Perth has been beaten by Adelaide in the world's best cities.
And we go inside the AFL's new score review system.
Scroll, scroll.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Morning, shut up.
He's an All-Australian, the best wingman in AFL, and he's our man inside the West Coast Eagles. Let's talk footy with Andrew Gaff for Automasters.
It's on tonight, the elimination final. Isn't it eliminated? Yes. Andrew Gaff, good to see you, mate. How are you?
Morning, guys. Exciting times.
Yeah, it is. Finals footy here in Perth.
How are the nerves this morning?
Yeah, fine. It's we don't play too many Thursday, Friday night games, so normally we've spent the night before watching a game of footy on TV Friday night. It's good to watch a bit of the cricket last night. I'm probably different to a few guys. I don't really get nervous as I'm on the drive to the game.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, yeah, quite a few guys might get a bit nervous at night, or the younger guys might get a bit nervous before a final, but all of us are nervous and all of us have that expectation and pride in performance, but it's probably once I start driving to the game that we really start thinking about it a bit more.
It's good if you sleep well then.
That's right, yeah. And with the night game, it can be a bit dangerous at times because you have more time to think about things that have happened. So you learn throughout the years what to think about and what not to, and the ability to keep yourself busy throughout the day is really important.
I can only imagine that so much of elite sport is played between the ears, you know, the mental state of mind. And for so much of this season, it seemed a shoo-in that you guys would be top four. The fact that you finished outside and, of course, lost the double chance, you know, is that something that the team needs to, like, reset mentally, or did that have an impact?
I think it could be a blessing in disguise. I think if you're playing the top four, you know you've got a second chance. So whether that means you're subconsciously not quite as on as you might be, but we know that we have to be on at every stage through every game from now on. And in the end, you've got to win four to win a grand final, and there's no guarantees that we'll do that. You just got to take one at a time. But like every game, it's 50-50, and it's not like we think, oh, four games is too far away.
Yeah.
You just got to win one, and you take it from there. So we know that we're going to do everything right, and hopefully what happened a couple of weeks ago is a blessing in disguise that we've been able to actually focus and improve on things that we really needed to improve, and hopefully we can implement that tonight.
Gaff, you haven't seen it yet because we sort of hid under the desk, but if you look behind you on the floor there, the carpet of your poster from the paper yesterday, we managed to find 17 copies of The West and covered it with your poster. That thing that comes with the infamy or the fame or whatever comes from that kind of thing, does that freak you out sometimes? You open up The West and, oh, there's a giant poster of yourself?
Yeah, I actually bought five papers and took them home for myself.
Same one of the folks.
Mum and Dad are in Europe at the moment. I have to save them for once I get back.
I love that for the scrapbook.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's great that we're a team that is playing finals this year, and I'm very lucky and we're very lucky. Ever since I started in 2011, we played a prelim final and we've really only missed finals one, maybe 2 years, I think. So in a very lucky position, and the guys that played throughout September last year know what to expect, and this is no different, that the expectation and the media around it is big, and those hero posters are just disappointed with as well.
You steal some of those ones, won't you?
Well, cool as a cucumber for tonight. So all the best. Hope it's a great game.
The Bombers, mate.
And for the Mix 94.5 listeners out there, I've bought in a couple of tickets for tonight.
You're kidding.
No.
Aww.
All good. So hopefully two West Coast supporters can go there and enjoy tonight and hopefully enjoy a win.
Gaffy, if you want to go to Optus bucks? Tonight, stop it, tonight to see the Eagles and Essendon bucks. Elimination final at Optus, 133-53. Good on you, Gaffy. Good luck tonight, mate.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Yeah! Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Oh, what's going on, Matthew?
Well, I tell you what, it's AFL finals time.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Steppy D, that's what she sings around the house these days. Shut up, footy's on the radio.
Oh, done that.
Awesome. She's part of the Mix family. Now, of course, finals do start tonight, and appropriately, it's been the players who've been the focus. Nick Nat, Shannon Hearn, will they, won't they?
Injuries.
And so there'll be some nervous players tonight getting ready. And it's not just the players, of course. You've got the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, the big night for them.
And more, of course, coaches and players these days.
There is, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and the umpires.
Sure.
Or the one-eyed mongrels, as we call them. You know, they want to bring their A game. Everyone wants to do their best for the finals.
Sure.
And as, of course, as a performer myself and someone who has died on his ass in front of a lot of people, I always feel most nervous when the do-do-do-do, border da, da, for the national anthem. National anthem. You're just waiting for that first note.
Yep.
Australia.
And everyone starts laughing.
But, of course, it's an honour to be chosen to be part of the AFL final series. And spare a thought for those who are part of the ARC.
Okay.
The AFL Review Centre.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've seen this, Kimber, but when there's like a score review, if they're not sure if it's touched the post or perhaps touched someone's hand, they go to the ARC, the AFL Review Centre, where a video expert will scroll back and forth to see if they can see if the ball's touched a hand or whatever.
Touch a goalpost, whatever it might be,
So, of course, they want to pick the best of the best for that tonight. So there will be one score review official, one Hawkeye operator and one ARC supervisor in the ARC getting ready.
And, I'm looking for Noah when you keep saying ARC.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It is a bit biblical. Yeah. And to get there, actually, is a great blessing. And those guys, the video review experts, are currently in training. All right, guys, come on. Come in. All right, guys, now it's finals time and you guys are the elite of the video review experts, okay? One of you will be chosen to video review, score review the finals games. Good luck to that person. All right, we're going to go for a drill, scrolling drill. Remember, F1 for scrolling, spacebar for pausing. Ready? And scroll. Keep going. Scroll. Keep going. Spacebar. Can't see anything?
No.
All right, ready? F1. And scroll. So there we are.
They sorted out, don't they?
Hey, the video review experts, or as I knew them, unemployed actors. But there you go.
Let's go to the ARC.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
Hey guys, have a listen to this. I'll just play this bit. Quite disturbing. There's a bill start mounting up when you're out of work. We've all been there at some stage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Very, very stressful, especially in this day and age. But how about this guy in Tokyo, Japan, who quit his job on the very first day? Now, this man in Japan is, according to police, in a bit of trouble. He used a method to acquire the equivalent of $100,000 in a little over a year. But in his first day of work, he got into the workplace and went nuts in a convenience store and just started accumulating stuff.
Stealing stuff.
He was a stealer of stuff and simply left during the first day on the job.
So he's got a bit of change out of the till and a couple of squishies and gone, right, that's it, I'm done.
But he's done this like a total of 30 times.
Yes.
So he starts a job, he nicks as much as he can during the day, and then he quits.
Yeah.
And then starts another job and does it again.
He's a great entrepreneur.
He's very, very clever. And eventually he was going to get caught because there's so much evidence against this dude. But over $100,000 US in around about a year of doing this continually at workplaces.
Well, I remember my dad's talking about, you know, back in the day, you know, you could be in a job and go, you know what, I don't like this. Walk out, and that afternoon you could get another job.
God, that was a long time ago.
Times have changed, haven't they?
Ooh, yeah.
What's the soonest you guys have quit a job? Like just gone, I'm done.
I can tell you about my an ex-girlfriend of mine who started a job at a restaurant, and the first person she tried to pour wine for complained, and she turned around on the heel and walked straight out.
Really?
She was in the building less than 90 minutes, and she rolls up. I hear a car in the garage, and I go, what are you doing? She goes, I quit because that guy was this first customer was really, really
good
rude to her.
Good for her.
Yeah, and I went, yeah, good on you. You can find something else. That was the very late 80s.
Oh, I did a two-weeker. Okay. I did a two-week stint. Well, I was doing filing and they said, oh, you know, it's a bit of filing. Keep and I talking. Thought, oh, that's okay. It's just an admin job. I can handle that. But I was in like a dungeon. It was dungeon of filing cabinets and stuff.
Were you wearing
stuff.
Glasses?
And you couldn't get any radio down there. Okay, so I looked like a sexy librarian.
In
a dungeon.
Waiting for it.
Okay, just need to keep you on board, didn't I? But yeah, there was no radio down there because it was a concrete jungle. You couldn't get any reception. You couldn't hear. And so I just went, I can't do this for
so
more
no
than,
windows or anything?
No, nothing. Oh, it was just so depressing. I had to leave.
Well, I guess sometimes something happens like that with your friend Claire.
Yeah, it just sparked her.
Just
a
moment you think, you know what? No, it's not for me. I admire people who've got that, you know, I would hang in there.
It was like, bugger this. I'm not doing that.
Well, look, I mean, you know, how quickly have you quit a job?
give us a call.
Yeah, what was the reason?
1-333-53, and it could score you an awesome prize.
Yeah, got a $150 voucher to spend at the Windsor Hotel. It's located just a short walk from the South Perth foreshore there, beautiful part of the world. The Windsor Hotel has excellent dining options, an on-site brewery and beautiful function spaces, something for everyone.
You betcha.
1-333-53, how quickly did you quit the job?
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
How about this guy in Tokyo, in Japan there, the location of the next Olympics next year?
Oh, yes.
This guy, in a total of apparently 30 times he went and started work at places. And on the very first day of work, he stole everything he could, more than just stationery. He was stealing plant and equipment and all the rest of it. Quit on the first day every time. And in that period of a year, over 30 jobs and workplaces, over 100,000 US is what he stole.
Well, a silly boy. You should do what I've done over the last 3 years and basically build up enough to open my own office work.
You just accumulate, yeah. Just accumulate slowly.
When you think about it, though, it does mean he only worked 30 days of the year and he made 100 grand.
Yeah, so, quite right.
True.
Pretty well decent. Well played, sir. Well played.
Actually, has anyone got a highlighter around
here? We want to know how quickly you quit the job. Tony. Oh, Tony's stuck in traffic. G'day, Tony.
I don't.
I'm fine. Good morning.
Tony, when? How quickly did you bail?
We bailed after 12 minutes. In 1980, myself and my best mate got a job to load old money at a bank.
Right,
yes.
It
yep.
Wasn't too hard. We got there and it was coins in big drums.
Oh, dear.
We couldn't move the drums, so we walked out. But that was beaten by one of my employees last year, a draftsman,
yeah.
Who, within 6 minutes of being at work and in inductions, got a text to say it's a better offer and got up and walked out.
Hey,
oh, at least he was an
opportunist. There's nothing wrong with that.
Wow.
Well, I call that disloyalty.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, yes.
Was he honest about it, Tony? Did he just say, hey, thanks for everything, but I'm out?
Oh, did he just walk, did he?
He just got up and said, I got a better offer. Cheers, guys.
Wow.
Okay.
6 minutes.
It's called, that's not burning your bridges, that's nuking them, isn't it?
It really
is. A better offer could have been a day at the beach for all we know.
Might have been.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah. Oh. Better offer might have been another $2,000 a year.
It might have been. Let's go to Leaderville. Daryl, can you beat 6 minutes, buddy?
Fremantle, sunny Fremantle I am in.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
Oh, Frio, okay.
Frio.
6 minutes, I walked in, I did the phone interviews, walked into an egg farm, you know, a chook thing.
Yep.
Walked in, they said, okay, mate, you've done the interview, here's your box, out the back through that door, go out and collect the eggs. I walked in, the heat hit me like enormous, huge, and the smell was something I'd never experienced. I come from the country, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
Yeah.
It was horrific smell in this chook egg run.
Yeah.
I walked down and it was disgusting. There were chooks actually passing out in front of me.
Oh, dear.
I turned around and walked straight out the door and kept going, never went back.
Hey, free range Daryl.
I bet they've seen that a lot too. Some of those jobs, they'd be very hard to fill.
Very tough.
Disgusting. Yeah, I wasn't there long. I didn't feel any disloyalty though.
Well done. No, yeah, no. So it takes you a little while to get that smell out of your nostrils though, doesn't it, Daryl?
Yeah.
I'm not going back.
You know, you want to do the right thing by people, don't you? But sometimes you just go, you know what you're capable of, and if you think, I can't do this,
I've made a mistake,
you better walk out.
Yeah, but you're trying to put up with, you know, until Smoko or something.
Yeah. Justin's in Canning Vale. Justin, how long were you there before you walked out on the job?
Hey, guys. I was there for about 3 days, and then I just never turned up again.
That's not a bad effort. 3 days?
What
was
it?
I was actually an eagle. I was a mascot of the Eagle Police. So I used to run around in the big eagle costume.
Yeah.
Oh, Eddie the Eagle.
Yeah, pretty much. But it got that hot and sweaty and all that in the middle of summer. And I was only like 14 at the time. And I remember I got in trouble one day because I took my head off to like get some water and replenish. But they said I'm not allowed to. So I got in trouble for taking my head off. And I was like, nah. Not where the sides I just didn't go back in.
Yeah, you don't want to have kids crying with Eddie with his head off.
I try to hide.
Yeah, of course. Like, yeah,
in front of a child and just decapitate myself.
No.
But, yeah, it was horrible. I'm like, yeah, they're like, nah, you don't know how to do that. You have to go 4 or 5 hours.
You know, if they were smart, they would have fitted you up with one of those camelbacks.
Mm.
So you wear it on your backpack and then filter through.
No, Justin, darling, a good actor never breaks character. You must know that.
Anyone who's done suit or costume work knows that you're living with the sweat of the 20 people who've worn it before.
Absolutely.
Horrid.
Good on you, Justin.
Well done, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Hey, congratulations on lasting 3 days, mate.
Yes.
Well yeah, thanks.
An exemplary employee.
What a guy.
Yeah.
I hope he got paid.
I love that you think those suits just smell of sweat. I used to work at Adventure World. World years ago, and that one smelt like vomit.
Oh, really? Well, that's probably what. Oh, not yours. Really? Oh, that's disgusting.
It's a summer suit.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
The list is out, guys, on the most livable cities on the planet.
Yes. Sydney and Melbourne are in the top 10. Adelaide's in the top 10. Perth, we got gypped.
Yeah.
14th.
What's going on there?
14th. It's a bit rough, isn't it?
Yeah. Top of the Wazza, Kimber. This one. Wait for it. The Ultravox 80s classic, Vienna.
Vienna, which would have had more effect on me if I hadn't have thought he was saying Rihanna for the last 30 years.
And she wasn't a thing yet.
Oh, Rihanna.
That's so funny. Let's go to our Austrian correspondent right now, live on the line from Vienna, Klaus von Breckfast. Good morning.
Good morning. It's such an honour to be on a show with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Hey, Klaus. We just want to say, mate, congratulations on topping the list there in Austria. Of course, Vienna, of the world's most livable cities.
Oh, Claire-Z, we are so happy. We're going to be partying on the banks of the Danube tonight, you can tell, here in Wien, which I know sounds funny for you with your English-speaking humour, like we've been weighing on something, but it's a very clean city and we keep all those shenanigans for being back at home in the bedroom. But, you know, we've been here since 500 BC, so we've had a lot of times to get things right, you know?
Well, Klaus, I've never been to your beautiful city. What would a tourist do in Vienna?
Oh, Kimber, you would be most welcome. You really would. It's a great city. You can relax. You can drink some coffee. You can take in the sights. We've got the Wiener Schnitzenopera. We've got the Wiener Musikverein. We've got the Wiener Schnitzel. We've got the Vienna Board Choir. And that's a lot of Wieners. You'd
and
love
Klaus,
it.
Klaus, of course, Vienna is known for its intellectual greatness and its cultural greatness. Some very, very famous people have called it home.
That is a great question, Matt. Thank you. Danke, I should say. Yeah. But, you know, that is true. We probably had the most famous musician here of all time, the Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
Yeah.
And indeed the most influential psychoanalyst, Sigmund Freud, which is kind of funny when you think about it, because Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was known for being a bit crazy, and Sigmund Freud was good at fixing the people who were a bit crazy.
Yeah, and Klaus, let's be honest, I feel like calling you Klaus. You haven't mentioned Arnie Schwarzenegger once.
Oh, yeah, I always make Arnie Schwarzenegger jokes. But I think you've been speaking to my cousin sometimes in Finland and also a good friend of mine, Matthias Cormann.
Yeah, yeah, true. Yeah, good West Aussie.
So we got a good connection with Australia.
Oh, Klaus, great to catch up, mate. And we know you're full of pride there in Austria with that that ranking of the most livable city in the world in Vienna this morning.
Yeah, ciao, ciao. Cheers.
Klaus, joining us on the show, Klaus von Breckfast.
So lucky to have so many wonderful reporters and people around the world.
Absolutely, so many correspondents.
The Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Now, you guys all geared up for the biggest draw ever?
Of course.
It's Lotto.
Yeah, I've bought tickets, of course.
I don't ever buy tickets because I feel like I'm never going to win.
Do you buy one every now and then, like a couple of times a year, or you just go on a whim?
I'd be lucky if I haven't bought a Lotto ticket for the last 2 years, 3 years easily.
Right, okay.
Just
but this
don't
is
bother.
How things have changed because yeah. I had this hard, fast rule, as you know, that yep. I would only buy a ticket once it got over 10.
Had to be over 10
which
million.
Which was unusual.
Okay,
but it now was. It happens all the time.
It does.
I'm broke.
Tonight's 80 million.
Yeah.
Last Saturday was 20.
Yeah.
Obviously, last Thursday was $60 million. So $80 million, it is quite bizarre. And I remember being at the Glendalough shops Gwellup shops a few months ago, talking to one of the mums from when my kids went to school. And mm-hmm. we're having a bit of a chat in the car park. And she goes, oh, do you remember the so-and-sos? I went, no. She goes, I said, yeah, I remember the family. She said, they won Lotto. And I went, oh, yeah. She
bloody
said, no,
so-and-sos.
They won Lotto. Oh. So I'm thinking they were the ones that won that $30 million about 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh.
And their whole world changed. And I went,
yeah, even people are talking about it in the Gwellup car park.
I know. How
years
bizarre.
Later.
And I went, what? They told you, so you're telling me? So more people knew.
We've got some tips here, but I don't think I want to give them out because I want to win.
Okay,
well, it's
selfish.
All luck of the draw.
It
so,
is.
I mean,
okay.
What's a hot tip between friends?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, get out there and get a ticket if you want one.
Yeah.
You're not giving any tips away, are you?
No.
Yeah. $80 million.
I mean,
ridiculous.
They're saying the top 10 suburbs that they buy people buying tickets are Perth, Morley, Cloverdale, Mandurah, Bunbury, Midland, Geraldton, Kalgoorlie, Rockingham and Albany. Okay. They're also big suburbs.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that they're selling the most tickets because that's where everybody's going to get them.
Do you think I can do a round trip and buy tickets in all those places before the draw tonight?
I reckon we'll do live crosses to you.
Give it a red hot go.
You know, the most important one is that if there's a work sweep or a work syndicate, you've got to get in.
Yeah.
There'd be nothing worse than one of us out of the three not being rich.
And I know it's luck of the draw, but when I say it like this, doesn't this sound disappointing? So on the day of the draw, between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. is the busiest hour for purchasing tickets.
Yes. So almost last minute.
And at that time, it peaks at around 673 tickets sold per minute.
Holy moly.
So when you win lotto, I mean, the odds are just, they're really insane, aren't they?
They are.
673 tickets a minute.
So I want to know, you know, when you go and slide your ticket in and check it now, and it gives you an instant response. I want to know if you win $80 million, the only winner tonight, and you check it tomorrow, does it say on the screen $80 million? Because you just imagine the person behind you.
No, it says push to, you know, if you want to see your winnings.
So you want to see winnings, it might be, you know, $12.50 or it might be $80 million. Does it say $80 million? I want to know.
No, it says something like, please go behind the counter for a private time.
To faint.
for
private time.
They basically pull you aside and go,
does it really?
Okay. Yeah,
it
maybe some better music.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
Yeah.
It's sort of consult the person behind the counter.
Otherwise, a person in the queue behind you goes, look at that. I know there's one there.
Yeah, exactly. $80 million.
Well, good
luck. About
good luck.
Play responsibly.
Yeah, please play responsibly.
This will fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Hey, guys. Some of the stats we've been reading this week in Asthma Week have been phenomenal and very, very scary, with that asthma really revealing itself as the silent killer.
Mm.
As Kimber, you said you were surprised that there's so many people are dying, you know.
Yes,
one West Aussie passing away in every fortnight or something like that. We thought we'd get a spokesperson who knows exactly what they're talking about, including that key message, what would you do in the case of an asthma emergency. And Shelley Harwood from Asthma WA joins us. Shelley, welcome, and how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Now, Shelley, asthma is one of those things where lots of people grew up with it. There's plenty of people have it. I believe it's 1 in 9 in Australia.
It certainly is, yeah.
And, you know, I've had asthma my whole life. I've got mild asthma, and I know my mum doesn't let me leave the house without a puffer. She's been banging on about that for years, but it's super important, yeah?
It's very important. That reliever medication, so we know it as more your Ventolin and your Asthmol, that is the emergency medication for somebody who has got asthma. So just making sure they have that on them is a really important fact for anybody who's got asthma, whether it's mild like yourself or whether it's more serious, more severe.
Okay, Shelley. So I'm a bloke on the street and someone comes up to me and they're looking a little bit distressed. And they say, I'm having an asthma attack.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to help them?
Normally it starts by asthma first aid and giving 4 puffs, using a spacer if they have got it available.
Yep.
And we'd wait 4 minutes and see what their symptoms are doing. And if you're somewhere where there's not a lot of people, we would recommend that people call an ambulance immediately, because it can change from a mild attack to a much more life-threatening attack within seconds.
Oh, right. Hey, Shelley, as someone who's never suffered from asthma, so you don't learn that much about something unless you really dedicate yourself to it. So I'm shocked by the fact that 40,000 people a year are hospitalised. That is an incredible stat, isn't it?
It is. A lot of people think that these are people who have really severe asthma, and a lot of people who have mild asthma, they are the ones that probably don't carry around their reliever medication. I had a client the other day who said that she climbed a mountain halfway up, she realised that she'd left her reliever medication in the car.
Oh, whoops.
So, you know, and she just has mild asthma. But somebody who's got mild asthma can have a severe or life-threatening attack.
Hey, guys, we're on the north face of the biggest building in the world. The biggest mountain in the world. Can someone call the Sherpas?
Get a bit help up to me.
Well, I know as a kid, I was diagnosed with asthma when I was 7. I had no signs of asthma, suddenly woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't breathe.
People think that only children have asthma or they've had it for their whole lives, but people can get asthma at any age. For some people, their first asthma attack can be even in adulthood or even later than that. For National Asthma Week this week, we have got an asthma emergency card, which really shows people what to look out for. What does a mild, severe, life-threatening asthma attack look like, and what can they do about it? If people were interested to find out more, they can go onto our website and order one of these free resources.
All right. Well, in summary, Shelley, you'll be better when you come out of your shell. You learn what you're talking about and you have more confidence. You've just nailed the best radio interview ever. Well done.
Thank you.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.